I told was told it was kind of left up to me to if I wanted to decide on something I wanted to speak on, and I didn't. I had quite a long time and came up with nothing. So I went to Dwayne and I think I went to you, Bob. I think we both talked about that. But anyway, Dwayne came up with a real good idea, and it's on faith. Now, if I was to try to stand up here, the Bible is full with examples of faith from the beginning all the way to the end. There are lots of examples in the Old Testament. There's a lot of good examples in the New Testament. So we're going to try to, since it's such a broad subject, I'll try to narrow it down to great faith and little faith and some examples, and I'm still not going to be able to touch just a drop of it. What is faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 defines faith for us. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that's the old King James Version. I believe in the other ones it would use the words realization or conviction in a place of substance and evidence. But that seems to be the definition of faith by the Bible. Why is this important? Why do we need to understand faith? Why do we need to have faith in the first place? Well, just right after that in verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Without faith it is impossible to please Him. Not to mention all the examples that the Lord Jesus gave in the New Testament of great faith and little faith. He talks, and I'll go over some of those. He talks of some men being great faith, some people exhibiting some faith that was not so great, and he called it that. And if I have time, and I might, I'll try to read the whole chapter 11 of Hebrews, because it deals with, it's every other word nearly is just about faith, and it's a fairly short chapter. But to start with an example of faith, and faith we kind of, the kind of faith I think that we have to have, and the kind of trust that we have to have, I'd like to, most everybody knows I'm a commercial pilot, or have been, but you may not know, before that, when I was 18, I got my commercial driver's license, and I've had it ever since. When I was in high school and junior high, I used to work with my grandfather out in the log woods. He's a logging contractor down in Arkansas. And I drove skidders and loaders and all kinds of messed with heavy equipment. And I couldn't wait till I got 18 to get my CDL license so I could drive the log truck, the 18-wheelers. And I got that done. It. My grandpa always told me about the front tires. He said, you've got 16 duals on an 18-wheeler and you've got two single front tires. He says your life rides on those tires, those front tires. And we would make little talks about, well, what happens if you've got this massive load pushing you down the road? Let's say you're going, 45 or 50 miles an hour, and you come up to a pretty sharp curve, and you go to make the curve, and everything begins to load up on that right side a little bit. That front tire loads up, and all of a sudden it blows out. You're probably going to straighten out the curve and just hope it's not a tree there, a bridge embankment. Could be anything. Now, this is not just true with a log truck, although it'd be more severe, but you can imagine this in an SUV or a car. You don't want those front tires blowing out. But how many of us think about that when we're driving? Nobody thinks about it. I mean, unless you're like me and you just worry. But we don't think about that because we have a certain trust in these tires. We have a certain trust in our car that it's going to start when we go out in it in the morning, that the heater is going to work, that the air conditioner is going to work. But I think the tires are a real good example, because that could be catastrophic. If you had a catastrophic, like a sidewall blowout, and I don't mean a flat that goes down, I mean an explosion of your tire, you could lose control of your vehicle, and the worst possible place would be the inside tire, and it's in a curve. You could leave the road, and you probably would leave the road. We have so much trust in things like these tires. Should we not have hundreds of times over more trust in the Lord God and Jesus? Our faith in them should be however many millions of times over what it should be in any kind of man-made vessel that could fail the tires could fail. You could drive the car off the brand new parking lot up here and the tire could fail and do the same thing I just talked about right after you drove it off. These man-made things will fail. Why should we not concentrate our utmost trust and our utmost faith and energy into something that will never, never fail? Our two best friends, the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father, the Lord God in heaven, will never fail us. They're always going to be there for us. They're always going to nudge us along. When we fall backwards, they're going to pick us up. And they'll always lead us and guide us and direct us. And the reason I brought this up is not to scare anybody about their car, but to think of how often you think about that. That's not something you think about. You just have that trust. In a given day when you're going about your work or your business or conversations at work with people, there's always going to be things come up that's going to test your faith to some extent. You know, even if it got so bad that you was in a financial situation where you were going to lose your house, and the Lord has told us He will never give us any more than we can handle at one time. So if anything comes up, we should know that it's in God's hands and it will be taken care of. It's in His plan and it's in His will, whatever it is. We should just follow His word and the rest would just have faith that it will come out. And it's hard to do. It's hard to imagine that, especially for a young person in the church. But it's things that Jesus talks about here. And I'd like to start with in Matthew. I look at chapter 8, starting in verse 5, and I'll read this. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, "Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." And Jesus saith unto him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to that all that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel." So starting, I guess we're going to start with great faith. That's something our Lord has labeled great faith, I mean, immediately after it was spoken and an example of it. So that's something I think we should strive to, you might strive to imitate this man. I mean, he believed, but he didn't only believe that Jesus could come to his house and heal this person. He knew he could do it with a spoken word from no telling how many miles away. And that's why, you know, that's a good reason why Jesus said his faith was so good, because nobody else had probably even brought that up. Another example, the woman that was sick with a disease, an issue of 12 years from Matthew 9 and 20, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment, for she said within herself, "If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole." But Jesus turned him about when he saw her and said, "Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. And I could go on and on with these. I've got several of these written down, and I haven't even got them all written down or printed out. But there's tons of these examples of great faith in there. When he starts to talk about little faith, He's telling people to not, well, in this one instance here, Matthew 6 and 27, he's really talking about not taking thought, not worrying about stuff. And that's what I was trying to say a while ago when I was talking about not, you know, if you were going to lose your house or somebody at work is giving you a hard time on your faith or somebody at work you're having trouble getting along with or something. It's all in God's hands. If we can just learn to let go and let loose and let Him have it. Pray about it. We have a direct line to Him through Jesus Christ, the main line, the only line that we can contact Him through. We don't have to go anywhere. We don't have to go to any special place to talk to Him. He's just right there everywhere all the time for us. Anyway, Matthew 6, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God clothe the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? The disciples didn't always have the greatest of faith, it seems. They were afraid in the ship. They were afraid of the boat sinking and the storm. Jesus said, "Why did you doubt? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And immediately, when Peter wanted to walk on the water, and they saw Jesus walking on the water to him, Peter got out and started walking and saw the storms coming up and the waves getting big, and he began to sink. He said, "Lord, save me." And Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. And I could go on and on with these examples, because I've got a bunch of them. But I'd like to read chapter 11 while I've got time to do it, out of Hebrews. Starting with verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which that he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he received him in a figure." That's kind of hard to imagine, and I know as we read that about Abraham offering up Isaac, everybody's had to try to imagine that. I mean, you can't help it, but it coming at your mind, could I do this? Could I do that? And that is such an amazing example of faith, because he knew that God would raise him up if he did offer him. But he stopped him, and that's something that I sometimes have trouble bringing into my head. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both of the sons of Joseph in worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come in years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should teach them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? And what shall I more say? For the time would fall me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I think that I don't know if one could ever achieve perfect faith. Does anybody have any comment on that? You know, the Bible talks about a perfect love, but your faith, as I understand it, is ever growing. From the time you were baptized to the time you die, it says in James chapter 1, verse 2, 3, and 4, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." I think that, I know that I have a lot of temptations and trials and things that come along, and sometimes they're about my faith. But it feels like each time I overcome one, I'm able to endure just a little bit more the next time. And I guess that's kind of an example of growing faith. And I hope it is anyway, that it would keep growing until either I die or the Lord returns. But it talks about perfect love that casteth out all fear. And I know I'm trying to obtain that, but I still fear some. So I'm not made perfect in love yet, obviously. But I'm trying to gain that, and I hope that everybody else is too. But I think with perfect love, your faith would be so great that I don't really know what I'm trying to say. I think with perfect love, your faith would be so great that the Lord might call it great faith. And I said I could talk about this all night, but I've run out of stuff that I've got. And this could be something that someone could put a lot of time into. I mean, you could start at Genesis and go to Revelation and talk about this week after week after week, and I don't know if you'd ever get it all done when it comes to faith. The Word of God is full of faith, and if there's someone who doesn't understand that here, I'm sure the elders would be happy to explain it to them. And or if it's primary obedience, whatever it may be, fear in your life, to bring it before the church, and any one of us would try to help you out.